Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Successful media and public affairs consultant, accomplished entrepreneur and national writer and contributor, attorney who served in the Missouri House of Representatives, worked in the White House and CNN, thought leader, entrepreneur, and host who takes the conversation to the next level.
Prepare to get rare access to fascinating guests.
You're connected. You have the it factor. You've joined
Grill Nation.
Everybody over there!
Get over there!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Connect with Jason on Twitter at Jason Grill. Connect with the show on Twitter at Grill Nation Show and online at grillnationshow.com.
Welcome your host of Grill Nation, always dressed up and ready to go, even in a radio studio. Here's Jason Grill.
Hello and welcome to the Grill Nation Show. I am your host, Jason Grill. Great to be back today on the show with you. Thanks for joining me on 980 AM or on podcast or on our website, grillnationshow.com. We're going to have an awesome show again today. We've been had some great guests lately, but today will be even a really good show, even better in my opinion. Jeff Phillips, Senior Vice President of Landmark National Bank, banklandmark.com, is joining me. Landmark is a great institution here in the region, and they join me each month and bring on a great guest and someone that they work with and they've learned from. Joe Herleman will be with us here in a second. He's a partner and project manager at Midwest Glass and Glazing, midwestglassandglazing.com. Going to just talk a lot about business and how he's rolled with the punches over the years with the construction industry, growing a company. You know, we're going to get some great advice from Joe today. I'm looking forward to talking, and we'll break into that in a second here. But Jeff Phillips, I want to bring you on now. Joe is going to be a really interesting guy to talk to, a great guest that has a great company here in the region.
Yeah, I think I look forward to hearing from him. I think Joe is actually wise beyond his years. He's had some great mentorship and support as he's grown in business. He comes from a pretty entrepreneurial family. His father has had different businesses. His siblings are in business, so they can really lean on each other. So I think he's got some important things to share with us today.
Yeah, we'll learn a lot about kind of just a lot of different topics with Joe about how he's kind of grown, how they've adapted, how they hold themselves accountable in the industry. Get some really good advice of things that he learned in that entrepreneurial family that people can take with them. Going to be a great show. Before we get to Joe, I want to start with you, Jeff, and talk to you about what you're dealing with at the bank. I know there's constant changes in our world, and you guys work with some of the best people and businesses around. What are you hearing from folks that are reaching out to you at the bank around kind of what people are looking for these days and what they need help with?
Yeah, we are really blessed to work with folks that are kind of students of not only business, but are really sensitive to what the landscape looks like from an economic standpoint, tax, regulatory, political. And so it's always interesting to visit with them to see what they're thinking about. And it helps inform us as to what we need to be thinking about so we can be a good resource for them. You know, it seems like the conversations we're having today, obviously everybody's been in this responsive mode of how do you operate in this new environment. And then this time of year, everybody really kind of looks towards the future and starts doing strategic planning and thinking about more long-term perspectives. So the things that we end up visiting with folks the most about right now, I think, is access. I think people are really interested in access to two kind of broad categories. One would be information. So, you know, it's not uncommon to get a phone call and say, hey, I was interested. Yeah, I read on the in the news yesterday about the CARES Act and what that could mean for my business as far as grants or job training for my employees or things like that. What do you know about that? And so you kind of got to be up to date on those things, or at least have a good resource to say, here's where you can go to find out more details. Obviously, the whole PPP thing, everybody wants to know, you know, what are the tax consequences? How do I get forgiven on that? I start every one of those conversations with, I'm not an accountant, but here's what I think I know. You should check me on all those answers. So, you know, there's some specifics like that. Also, just in general, like where we are in the rate environment, where we are from a money supply standpoint. You know, some people read headlines and see that they feel like banks are kind of rolling up the carpet and they're not in the business of lending or supporting small business anymore. So visiting with them about what the landscape looks like. So access to information. But then also one thing that I'm most proud about our community is access to people. And so it's not uncommon to get a phone call to say, hey, I've got this corporate structure and I don't know if it's the right way for what I'm trying to do. Who should I visit with about that? And you can give them two or three names of other business owners that have done something similar, or an attorney, or, you know, people that can help guide them through that. So you think about, you know, hey, I need the help understanding what the development, what I should be thinking about if I'm going to buy a building or if I'm going to build a building, which one should I do? Should I own? Should I lease? And so you can kind of give introductions to people who have gone through that exact same thought process as running their own business and give them some advice so they can kind of skip over the pain that's associated with making some of those decisions. And so I'm the most proud about how generous the people that we work with are with their time and their information and how they're willing to share their experiences to help others kind of skip ahead.
That's interesting. You always wonder about that because you do work with so many different diverse businesses and owners, and you know, Kansas City and our region is obviously pretty, the ecosystem likes to help each other, like to see each other succeed. And in your world, I'm assuming that that isn't much different, especially with what you just said. I think that's awesome that people are willing to help each other. And truthfully, with you, Jeff, you know pretty much everyone in town, and you can connect people to about anyone, can't you?
Well, that's kind of you to say. I don't know that I know everybody. It's a good reason, though, to give somebody a call to say, hey, I know somebody that you need to visit with and you don't know me, but I think we ought to get you two introduced. You're right. I think the ecosystem of Kansas City is very helpful. But I also think that specifically the people that we've had a great time getting to know and work with also kind of have that shared value, that they see their role as part of a network, as being able to draw from it, but also having the responsibility to contribute to it. And so that's how you can call somebody in with a lot of confidence and say, I know you've gone through this before. Would you mind visiting with somebody? And I can't tell you a single time that someone has said, no, I'm not willing to do that.
So access to people, access to resources, information. Jeff Phillips, Senior Vice President at Landmark National Bank, banklandmark.com. Great website, different locations throughout the region. Jeff, again, we're going to be joined here in about a minute after the break with by Joe Herleman, who is with Midwest Glass and Glazing. He's a partner there. Really interested to talk to him about kind of what they do, you know, some of their case studies, but more importantly, kind of how they've evolved over the years and how they've managed different temptations with growth in the construction world, and how, you know, they hold themselves accountable. And again, it's going to be great to get some good entrepreneurial advice and business advice from Joe today.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, he is living it currently. So I think there is some sage advice that he can provide of things that they have tackled. But I think there's also a lot of questions that he has himself as to, he doesn't know the right answer, but just being able to see the inside of what they're thinking about is very helpful.
It'll be a great show today. I want to thank Jeff Phillips for joining me, Senior Vice President of Landmark National Bank. Again, banklandmark.com, great organization and great contributor. not only to this show, but also in the region with the book series they do, Landmark Library, and then other ways they work with the business community here in Kansas City and the region. We'll be right back after the break with Jeff, as well as Joe Herleman, partner at Midwest Glass and Glazing. Thanks for listening to the Grill Nation show. We'll see you in a second. Thank you so much.
I wish I found some better sounds no one's ever heard. I wish I had a better voice that sang some better words. I wish I found some chords in an order that is new. I wish I didn't have to rhyme every time I sang. I was told when I get older.
You used to call me on my cell phone. Night when you need my love. Call me on my...
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Grill Nation show on 980 AM and on Apple Podcasts or at grillnationshow.com. Again, I want to thank a contributor to the Grill Nation show. It's an incredible company, and they're all over the place these days. I see their name everywhere. Landmark National Bank. Jeff Phillips, again, is joining me, Senior Vice President. Just been a great contributor to the show. They join me each and every month with a great guest, and we learn a lot each and every time that we have a Landmark National Bank show. And it's great to have Jeff Phillips back with us again. And Jeff Phillips, we're going to be joined here by Joe Herleman, who's a partner and project manager at Midwest Glass and Glazing. Their website is midwestglassandglazing.com. I want to have you introduce Joe to our listeners and to those on podcast and radio today. Very interesting story and company that I'm excited to talk about with you today, Jeff.
Yeah, I think everybody will enjoy hearing from Joe. Joe comes from a very entrepreneurial family, and I'll be interested to hear kind of how that influenced him in his decision to own and run a company. But Midwest Glass and Glazing is one of those businesses that you drive by and you see their metal building and their sign and you say, I wonder what they do in there. And one of the cool things about being a banker is that you get to actually go inside those businesses and see that they are a thriving company that is working on some very cool projects. He's also a really good businessman who is facing some things that I think our audience will enjoy hearing his perspective on. So I'm looking forward to our conversation today.
Well, great. Well, Joe, welcome to the show. First off, before we get into your day-to-day and kind of being a leader at the organization, Midwest Glass and Glazing, let's learn a little about you. Tell us about your background. Are you a Kansas Cityan? Are you from somewhere else? I know you went to K-State.
Yeah, so I was born and raised here. Went to Kansas City Christian School, K through 12. Moved up here when I was five. My parents were from Wichita, or they were married, and that's where I was born. But yeah, I lived in the same house from five on to when I left to go to school. And it was great. Had a great childhood. And then I went up to school. I played soccer at John Brown University for a couple of years. It's a small little school down in Arkansas. And then transferred from there over to Kansas State. Had some buddies from high school that were over there. And plugged in there and finished my degree. I was a finance and accounting major.
You did the soccer thing. That's always interesting to me when people go and pursue their dreams in athletics. It takes a lot, one, to go to a smaller school to do that, and two, to make the decision to hang them up, if you will. So you did that, and you went to K-State, and you talked about the financial degree, financial management and controllership. I mean, how did that influence your next move? Because I know the company Midwest Glass and Glazing is a family-owned business.
Yes. So my dad is a CPA by trade, and he's had lots of influence on me, not just in the business world, but, as a great father figure that I've always looked up to. So he liked numbers, and, that rubbed off on me. I liked numbers. Wasn't really sure what path to take in college. Didn't have like a burning passion for really any particular one discipline. And so I was like, well, you know, dad likes numbers and I like numbers. So I'll head down the finance road. And I really enjoy, I still enjoy like the markets, and I still enjoy like reading the Wall Street Journal and stuff like that. But obviously, you know, the accounting side is really the bedrock for getting involved in any company. You know, if you understand a little bit of the accounting principles, it really helps you understand the business and what really makes it work.
Yeah. So you did you go straight out of school and work for the company, or did you do something else beforehand?
Yeah. So probably should have paid attention in school a little bit more than I did. So I didn't have a ton of offers coming out of school.
We like honesty from the show, Joe. We appreciate
it. Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, my dad was transitioning out of a CFO role with PB&J Restaurants, which is a local restaurant company. He is very entrepreneurial, always wanted to kind of do his own thing. And one of his big, one of his things that he said he always wanted to do was see if he could go and create culture in small business. You know, that's always been a dream of his. So he started doing small business investment and getting involved in a couple small companies around the same time that I left school. And so he needed, you know, some help managing the books. And so I started doing some book work for a snow removal company that he had up in Omaha called True North Outdoor, Nebraska. And that's how I started working for my dad. And then a year later, they lost the bookkeeper at Midwest. And so I transitioned into doing some book work for Midwest. And that was my foray into Midwest. So
yeah, tell us about Midwest, Jeff, if I would. Just tell us about kind of what the company does, MidwestGlassandGlazing.com, and then we'll kind of get into some of the work that you guys have done here locally and in the market. Tell us about kind of what the business does and you know, your niche, if you will.
Yeah, Midwest Glass and Glazing is a commercial glass and aluminum framed facade installer. So it's kind of hard to point to any one building and say, hey, that's exactly what we do, because all of the projects have a little bit different, you know, architecture to them. Commercial windows come in all different shapes and sizes. And so the best way to boil it down is to say we will install like glass openings on commercial buildings. So that goes down to, you know, one level storefront properties, you know, strip malls and retail centers, up to hospitals and larger buildings. We don't really get into like high-rise structures. You know, that's a little bit big for us. But, you know, I would say anything five stories or lower, you know, we're going to be competitive on in the market. You know, we do entrance doors. We've spun off into sheet metal. So we do some sheet metal facades. 99.9% of our revenue is from commercial construction.
Jeff, you had a question on that? I'm looking at the service page right now, Joe, and I mean, yeah, you're right. You do a lot of different things. But
yeah, I'd say I'd be interested to hear from Joe as to, as they've seen all these opportunities in front of them, how they've kind of picked a niche or picked, you know, a certain type of customer to work for, because I know there's just been a ton of opportunities out there and they really could spread themselves pretty thin. So what's been your approach to that, Joe?
Yeah, so we've been on a pretty aggressive growth cycle ever since like 2010, really. So we're about five times larger than we were back then. And most of that's due to just growth in the market, you know, understanding what we do better, trying to take the approach of improving it every day. You know, we've learned some tough lessons, you know, every year we do that. But we try to, you know, learn those only once or twice and then, you know, improve the business from there. So, you know, I would say most of it's just been experience based learning and, you know, the natural business maturation process. But to answer your question about, you know, niches, I think, you know, for us, we've had some success lately with doing schoolwork, trying to keep our projects to a manageable size, you know, which is, you know, your mid-level projects, your 1-2-story buildings, some remodels, you know, getting into the bigger jobs. There's just lots of risk there. And we've done some big jobs and we've had some decent success on them, but you know, that's a whole nother learning process. So I think what, you know, where we're at now is thankfully, you know, we've gotten to the point where we're pretty decent at running most of the mid-level jobs and the smaller jobs. And there's enough of that work out there right now that, you know, we can kind of focus on that tranche and not have to chase some of the really large projects around to keep our lights on. So,
and you guys do historic building renovation, which of course in Kansas City and in our region is really something that people have to have expertise in, just because of all the different nooks and crannies of all the older buildings and trying to provide a quality kind of rehabilitation, I guess, and renovation of those buildings.
Yeah, those are always tricky, you know, because you always find stuff that's not going to be on the architectural plans. So yeah, that's definitely one of those genres where you need to do a couple before you really figure out what you're getting yourself into. So we did the Folgers building renovation down there on, I think it's 8th and Grand. You know, that was a really good size
renovation. I think we lost Joe's sound, Jeff, but that's okay because we're getting to the end of the segment here. We have about 30 seconds left. We'll be back with Joe here in the break. I want to talk about the Folgers building. I also want to talk about some of the other work you've done. I want to get into some trends. I want to get into some movement. I want to talk about your market area and kind of your location and how people can get involved and learn more from Joe at Midwest Glass and Glazing. We'll be right back after the break with more Grill Nation Show. Thanks to Landmark National Bank, banklandmark.com, and Jeff Phillips for their support. We'll be right back.
You were the shadow to my light. Did you feel us? Another star, you fade away. Afraid our aim is out of sight.
Like the legend of the phoenix, all ends with beginnings. What keeps the planet spinning?
Welcome back to the Grill Nation Show. I'm your host, Jason Grill. Thanks for joining us again today on the radio on 980 AM or on Apple Podcasts or Podcast Networks. You can connect with me on Twitter at Jason Grill and at Grill Nation Show. Thanks to our supporter and sponsor of the Grill Nation Show, Landmark National Bank, for helping to coordinate this great show today. Jeff Phillips, Senior Vice President, is with me, banklandmark.com. Joined today by Joe Herleman, who's a partner and one of the leaders at Midwest Glass and Glazing. Their website is midwestglassandglazing.com. Joe, we were really getting into a project you worked on, a historic building renovation, which was, if you're in Kansas City listening to this show, you remember it because of the smell. Every time you cross the Broadway Bridge or we're going into downtown, the Folgers building. And you renovated that, and that is now, what, multifamily condo apartments, correct?
Yes. Yep, it is.
So tell us about that process. I thought that was interesting when you were starting off there.
You know, like any historic job, you know, there's tax credits involved. And so like sight lines and, you know, keeping the integrity of the original constructions, a really important feature of all those projects. And so, you know, you got to really make sure everybody's ducks are in a row when it comes to, getting, you know, the windows approved and all the details approved. You know, that's always the feature of those projects. So, for us, you know, it's always fun to drive around and, you know, look at jobs we've done. You know, that's certainly one of them. You know, there's other ones too. But yeah, that building, you know, like all buildings, they have their unique challenges. You know, they have massive windows on that job. And, you know, just getting, you know, those size of windows up a hoist and staged on the floor lines and, you know, installed in the openings and all that stuff. You know, those are the details that you don't think about until you've had to, you know, logistically plan that out. Tight footprints downtown, you know, not a lot of space to work. any type of lift work that you need to coordinate on the outside of the building, be it swing stage or boom lift. You know, all those things go into planning a project like that. Unfortunately, experience is typically the best teacher there. You learn by doing it, how to do the next one better. It is fun to, kind of name drop some of the projects that you've done around town and, look at them. I know, and the guys too, all the guys that work for us, they have some pride in, installing, windows on a particular project or walking through a door that we put in or something like that. So that is a cool part of doing what we do.
We absolutely should. It's not unexpected, I think, Jason, that Joe and the crew at Midwest have built like a reputation with, you name it, general contractors. So all the big names that you would think of that do projects like that. Joe, I'd be interested to hear your take on the temptation that a lot of companies have when they build that reputation and they work with companies that will give you almost as much as you are willing to take. What has been the thought process for you all as to how you manage your growth kind of from a capacity standpoint, from a risk standpoint, from all of those things? What's been your thought process as you get more and more opportunities thrown at you?
Yeah, that's a really tough thing to nail down. There's so many different factors involved in that. Us being a non-union company, we have a fixed labor pool. So, our labor pool doesn't get to be ratcheted up or down based on how much work we have, So we basically always have to have a steady stream of work to keep our guys busy. If we don't do that, then, we'll lose skilled labor. And more importantly, we won't take care of the people that we're responsible for, which is our workers. And so, to answer your question, the paradigm for us is always to be a little bit busier than we should be, just a little bit though. We always want to be like that 5% busier than we can really handle. The problem is that that can easily turn into 25 or 30%. This summer, we had some struggle just trying to get some of the jobs finished, so we had a lot of overtime, trying to keep the customers happy, trying not to work our guys to death. But also, we have to get the job done, from a liability standpoint, but also just from a reputation standpoint. So I think we're trying to dialogue with contractors more and get the GCs on board and say, hey, if we had better visibility on projects coming up in the future, if you could give us a 6-month forecast of what is coming out for bid, we would have we would have a lot better ability to manage our own workload and make sure we're not committed to too much. Cause right now our bidding schedule is only a 3-week look ahead. That's about the extent that people give us. And, we'll get it on budgeting opportunities, but, there's never really a hard date on when that job will go. We can't really turn down opportunities to bid anything, but at the same point, we also have to make sure that we're not bidding too many things. And, if we get enough yeses, we can get ourselves into trouble. So it's something we look at really hard. I study it, probably daily, look at the bidding schedule, look at the backlog and try to navigate all that. But yeah, I think there's some opportunities there for people to collaborate, contractors and subcontractors to collaborate to where everybody's taken care of and no one's stretched really thin. Yeah.
Have you turned down a project, Joe, that you wish you wouldn't have over the years?
Ooh. I think the better way to say that is we didn't get a job that we were glad we didn't get.
So that's the same thing in the professional service world and banking world, probably, that there's some of those deals where you're like, wow, this would be a great initial boost of capital, but it'll be a nightmare to deal with, and it'll take up all of our time.
Yeah, I mean, right now, the way we handle that is, you know, if there's a job out of town or a job looks hard to us, or it's, you know, it's got a lot of really expensive components to it, we'll bid that job higher, you know, so not necessarily like we'll turn that down. But, you know, if we're going to do that project, it's going to be for a higher margin than we typically would use to bid a job. So
if they say yes, then I guess you've made more money then, right?
Exactly. See? You kind of take care of yourself.
Figure out your staff then, your growth then.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, I can guarantee you that every time you read an article in the newspaper about a company that had fraud or is filing bankruptcy, there is a banker somewhere that's going, "Whew, that was a close one." You know. So,
right.
Yeah. That was the one they didn't get.
Joe,
what's your? I mean, I know you're a student of not only business, but of the industry and kind of the economy. What's your outlook on construction in general over the next 3 years?
It seems like it's going to be really, I think it's going to be really strong. I think a lot of that could be like, not so much on the supply side, but more on the demand side. I think that like trades are going to have trouble attracting, you know, younger workers and skilled workers to train. You're going to have a lot of people exiting the skilled trades over the next 3 to 5 years. It's a very aging, you know, demographic. There's not many guys that are starting subcontracting companies for good reason. I don't think I'd do it ever again. you know, I'm pop committed now. Yeah. You know, it's just a hard industry, it just takes a long time, you know, and there's just things you have to learn by experience. And so like, if you don't have the capital to be able to do that, or you don't have, you know, the timeline to be able to do that, like, you know, there's some barriers to entry there. So I think that it's going to be there's going to be a lot of opportunities. And I'm not really sure, like, it's because building is going to be booming. I think it's more because there's going to be more demand than, you know, the subcontractors that are involved can handle.
What and we're talking to Joe Herleman, who is a partner at Midwest Glass and Glazing. You guys talk to us about your facility and where it's located and what essentially can people see when they come there.
Yeah, it's kind of like our website. There's not very much. You know, if you don't know what you're looking for, you know, it's kind of like you see a bunch of metal, you see some machinery, you see a lot of guys that they move at a good tempo up in the shop. The thing that we're really proud of is the culture we have here. We have a lot of second generation guys that work. So like their dads have trusted us with not only themselves and their family's livelihood, but also vouch for us to the point where their kids are starting to come work for us, you know, and that's a thing that makes me more proud than probably anything I've done in the business world, is like create an environment where dads will, also, you know, bring their sons to work and their sons can work alongside them. We have about 6 or 7 of those situations right now here in our company, and hopefully more. But the facility is located on Mission Road. It's right down the street from Joe's KC gas station, a local staple. And if you don't know where that is.
Is that a place I should go?
if you don't know where that is, you need to look it up and head there.
Yeah, right.
you can get to go, so you don't have to eat inside or whatever. But anyways, yeah, we're right on like Mission Road and 35 Highway. So a good location, pretty centrally located. You know, selfishly, I have probably the best commute in the city. I it's about a minute and a half for me to get to work in the morning. I've got 4 small kids, so I can go for lunch.
Here. We'll be right back after the break with more Grill Nation Show. Thanks for listening today on podcast or on 980 AM. We'll be right back.
Crashing.
Keep on hoping with the cake.
Welcome back to the final segment of today's Grill Nation show. I'm your host, Jason Grill. You're listening to 980 AM in Kansas City or on podcasts throughout the country on Apple Podcasts or at grillnationshow.com where you can find all of our podcasts. Jeff Phillips, Senior Vice President of Landmark National Bank, banklandmark.com, great bank in the region, is joining us today and they support the show. They have brought on Joe Herleman today. He's our guest partner at Midwest Glass and Glazing. MidwestGlassandGlazing.com. Had a fascinating conversation with him so far. Very interesting business topics and how they've evolved over the years. You talked about some trends you're seeing in the industry, in the construction industry. Let's talk a little bit more about how you all have evolved kind of from the startup phase. I know you mentioned kind of saying no to projects, saying yes to projects, but as far as like the growth of the team and kind of maybe some of the best lessons you've learned, Joe, over the 10 plus years you've been with the business, that you maybe were surprised by or were taken back by or really kind of you like to hone in on a day-to-day basis to make the company stronger.
Yeah, I think, you know, for us, I think identifying ways in which we can improve for the sake of the customer and the sake of the project has been pretty instrumental in our growth. So like implementation of like automation and machinery, we have a pretty sophisticated shop, you know, relative to a lot of our competitors. And, you know, that's built over time. So like our first piece was, you know, we wanted to bring in a machine that would automate the way that we fabricate window systems. And so we made that investment about 4 years ago. And what it did was it just really changed. It changed more like the paradigm under which like we operate almost as much as it changed the way that we do things. Because like when you bring in something that like kind of raises the stakes for everybody, everybody kind of has to commit to it. And that's paid out dividends, you know, in ways in which we think about how to do projects, think about how to even unload trucks, think about how to like logistically get material around and all that thing. So I think one of the best lessons I've learned is like to try to figure out repeatable processes within your business and then, you know, figure out a way to maybe implement technology or some type of machine, you know, that can supplement, you know, the way that you do things. My brother and sister are involved in McLean's Bakery. They've done similar things, you know, like bringing coffee in house, you know, to roast. You know, for us, it's like being able to do sheet metal in house. So we bought a folder and we're able to, you know, control that process, not have to, you know, rely on a third party to get us those materials. It makes the project run quicker. You know, it gives us the ability to look for change orders that other competitors can't because they don't have the machine to do it. You know, so there's lots of benefits to looking at those processes individually, solving them, and then moving on to the next one. And understanding that it does take time to do that, but once it's implemented, it makes a huge difference. So
Joe, how do you? Because believe it or not, a bank is actually we're a small business too, and that we're constantly evaluating: is this a process that needs to be done differently, or is this a place where we can leverage technology in trying to make changes all for the benefit of a customer experience?
Sure.
How do you hold yourself accountable to that? Are you in charge of that? Do you have a third party that holds you accountable to that? How do you do that?
I think that the lowest hanging fruit in that type of a discussion is like, you know, what's the bottleneck that everybody, you know, points to when they're like, well, I could get it done if so-and-so was done for me, or I could get it done if this thing was not holding me back. And I think that's really what we've used to try to implement and change. You know, for us, like lead times are crucial. You know, like we have very long lead time products. And so any way that we can shut that lead time down just gives us the ability to control that project better, right? Because instead of having to wait 6 weeks for somebody to do something for you, I can buy a machine and do it for myself in 2 weeks. And so I think that for us, like, that's really the way that we make those decisions. And that takes a lot of collaboration from the team, and that takes a lot of people to, you know, give you input and feedback. But I think for us, like, you know, we try to ask, you know, everybody involved a lot of questions, and then they give us good input on how to do things better. And then we try to solve that problem. You know, we don't do it perfectly all the time, but we're always trying to solve something.
You mentioned your brother and sister. I mean, you guys come from an entrepreneurial family, don't you, Joe?
We do. My little brother and sister involved in McLean's Bakery. Couldn't be more proud of them. They do a great job. You know, my dad, he gave us all opportunities, which, you know, you know, that's priceless.
What was the best advice he ever gave you guys growing up? Because, I mean, that's pretty rare, especially because you're all in different industries.
Right. I think two things. I think my dad was big on, hey, it's okay to make a mistake as long as you're trying to do something well. You know, I think in the entrepreneurial side of things, people are always afraid of failing. And like, the funny thing about that is like, if you're an entrepreneur, you're going to fail at some point. You know, it's how you react to that failure that really is the most important part of it. The other thing that my dad always said that I took away from him was, you know, the grass is always greener, you know, so you need to be content with what you have, because just because you think something's better or looks better, it might not necessarily be that. You know, so I think that also helps entrepreneurs, because, you know, there's a lot of time where you just have to be content with where you're at, and not be too anxious about where you should be or where other people are, because, you know, every process is different. All the businesses are different. You can very easily get in a bad spot if you're looking around and comparing yourself to other people and not worrying about your own house and taking care of your own people. You know, that can hurt you. So I think those two things are two things that have really stuck with me that, you know, my dad imparted onto me. So,
man, that's something, you know, more people need to think about. A lot of times we see a lot of smoke and mirrors out there, and then you realize that a company is not doing too well, especially during the times we're facing right now. Where on the outside it might look okay, but on the inside, man, they're in debt and they're not doing too well with their banking partners. They need a new banking partner, perhaps, Jeff Phillips, that isn't helping them right now. But
right.
I love that advice. That's very good advice. We got 40 seconds left in the show. I just want to thank you, Joe, for coming on the show today. Joe Herleman with Midwest Glass and Glazing.com. Also want to thank Jeff Phillips, Senior Vice President of Landmark National Bank, banklandmark.com, for the show today. Great show. I love the advice. I love hearing the stories. And, you know, here's to the future, Joe. I'm sure you got a lot of big things planned with all the construction you predict.
Trying to take it one year at a time. So.
I think that's wise advice. I think we all are doing that, right?
Absolutely. Yep. Great job.
Appreciate you guys coming on. And thanks to all those for listening today to the Grill Nation show with Jason Grill. Look forward to seeing you again next week. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Picture perfect memories scattered all around the floor. Reaching for the phone because I can't fight it anymore. And I wonder if I ever cross your mind. For me, it happens all the time. It's a quarter after one. I'm all alone and I need you now. Said I wouldn't call, but I lost all control and I need you now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.